companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, the Timeless Message. And mashallah, today on the Timeless Message, we are going to be discussing a very beautiful topic, and that is regarding the honor of a father. Yes, we are going to be diving deep into this topic of discussion. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that decorate your gatherings by reciting salawat upon me, for your recitation of salawat upon me will be a noor, a light for you on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we thank our most merciful Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I, and upon that we say alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen ala kulli hal. And yes, we have to be grateful in life, whether we have less, whether we have more. And every step that we take, we got to show gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do that, then you would see how it would be barakah in your life, in your risk, in your sustenance, in your wealth. And gratitude is something that takes you a very, very long way in life. So always remember to be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, alhamdulillah, we are discussing the honor of a father, Deeds of Madani Channel. And this is very, very important that, you know, we learn, we educate ourselves about the maqam, the status and the honor that a father has. You know, serving one's parents, it's such a great blessing. Yet, you know, there may be some people who do not serve them, and they miss out on the blessings that come with this, failing to understand how great these personalities are. You know, we often hear about mothers and how their prayers are like the breeze of Jannah, subhanallah. You know, Jannah lies beneath the feet of your mother. Also, the mother's feet have been described as a threshold of Jannah. Nobody can be compared to a mother, and there is no substitute for her in this world. Yet, when it comes to serving, respecting, and honoring the father, the same level of attention is not given. Our love for the father is not expressed as much, even though he holds a special and significant role in our lives. I'll narrate to you a story, a parable. When a man had four sons, when he got sick, one of them presented an unusual proposal to his brothers. And he said that you three take care of our father and you will get a lot of reward. But because of this, do not take any share from the inheritance. Or you can give me the responsibility of caring for him. I will serve him and not take any share of the inheritance in return. This is what an unusual agreement is of Madani Channel. Who turns down money nowadays? Yet, that one brother, he knew the reward that would come for serving his father. So the three brothers, they said, what could be better than this? You take care of our father and don't take any share of the inheritance. Now this agreement was settled and the son served until the father passed away. That son did not take any share of the inheritance, just as promised. And what happened next? One night he had a dream in which he heard a voice saying that go to such and such place. There you will find 100 gold coins. Take them. So the son asked, are there any blessings in them? The voice said, no. Following morning, he explained to his wife, in my dream, I was told of a place where there are 100 gold coins. I did not take them as they have no blessings. His wife said that you are very, very strange. First, you give up your inheritance and did not take a single share from it. Now you were given gold coins. We are poor. You should have taken them. He said, I do not want wealth with no blessings in it. So the following night, he was shown a place in his dream and was told, there are 10 gold coins at such and such place. Go and take them. He asked again, are there blessings in it? The reply was, no. There's no blessings in them. And that morning, he told his wife about the second dream. She said, how strange is it? From 100 gold coins down to 10, you should have at least taken the 10. And he said, if there are no blessings in them, I do not want it. On the third night, he was shown a place where there was one gold coin. And he was told to take it. Are there blessings in it? He asked. The reply was, yes, there's blessings in it. That morning, he went to the place he saw in his dream and brought that single gold coin back. He used it to buy two fish for his family, thinking, if nothing else, at least I can give them a good meal. When he got home and cut the fish, he found a pearl inside each one. And these were extremely rare. They were unique pearls, so he put them away to keep safe. On that day, the king of the land issued an order that he wanted a pearl of a specific color and type. The king's representatives, they visited all the jewelers in the city, but nobody had the right one. Eventually, they learned a man in a certain neighborhood found pearls inside a fish, the likes of which, you know, none had ever seen. And once they found him and saw them, they said, yeah, it's exactly the kind of pearl the king wants. It was shown to the king, who said, yes, this is the one. The price of the pearl was discussed, and since goods were transported on donkeys and horses in the past, the man said that this pearl will cost you 30 mules loaded with gold. The king had 30 mules loaded with bundles of gold and purchased the pearl from the man. Now look at how much wealth came from the blessing of a single gold coin. And that was from selling only one of the pearls. The king took the pearl to an expert in this field, and the expert said that one pearl alone will not bring out its true beauty. When a second pearl of the same kind is found, then its real beauty will be realized. So the king said that go and find another pearl, even if it costs double the price. The search for another pearl began. It could not be found anywhere. Eventually, people returned to the same man's doorstep and asked, do you have another pearl like this? And he said, yeah, I have another pearl like this, but it's going to cost you double the price. So they bought the second pearl from him in exchange for 60 mules loaded with gold. The first was 30, which they bought for the first pearl, in exchange for 60 mules loaded with gold. Now, from this incident, we learn not only the importance of serving one's father, but also that a small amount of wealth with blessings is far better than a large amount that is haram, number one, and has no blessings in it. In any case, because the son served his father, Allah Ta'ala enriched him with unseen treasures. That was one story. And there are also similar stories like this, like I mentioned to you another story. I know a beautiful parable is described in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. Now in Arabic, the word Baqarah, it means cow. Now this surah, it mentions the story of a cow that was the most expensive in the entire world. People of the time, they paid for it by filling its hide with gold. And it was given to a young man who served and obeyed his mother. Now, due to his devotion, due to his obedience to his mother, Allah Ta'ala granted him a cow, the likes of which was not found anywhere else in the world. Now, the lessons to learn from these parables are valuable for both parents and children. Now, parents often say they want to leave a lot behind for their children. You earn for your kids, build houses for them, and set up businesses. Yet, do you not think about whether what you are earning for them is halal or haram? Do you not stop and consider what kind of upbringing you are giving them? Remember that if you leave wealth for your children, but do not give them a proper upbringing, they're going to use that wealth to commit sin. And the punishment for this will fall upon you, as it was you who left the wealth for them. Let's mention that Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah had very little wealth as he left this world. And somebody said to him that you have not left anything for your children. So he gave them a very beautiful answer. He said that if my children are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not right to leave anything for them, because they are going to spend it on wrong things. If they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will grant them from His unseen treasures, make them self-sufficient and bless their sustenance. Look at the mindset of Yusuf bin Ishaq. Now let's discuss two things here. Number one, is that we have righteous children who correctly use the wealth left by their parents. And secondly, we have halal wealth. Even if halal wealth is little, Allah Ta'ala places blessings in a small amount for the family. And there are many examples in the world where millionaires leave massive businesses behind for their children, who embroil themselves in wrong and cause the business to fall, to fail quickly. On the other hand, a poor man can pass away whilst his children are righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then blesses them and their wealth so much that they surpass their father in business. So one should seek halal sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, Allah, whatever you give, make it halal, full of blessings, replete with goodness, and brimful with peace. Even if the amount of halal wealth one has is small, it still has a lot, untold levels of blessings. You know, many millionaires suffer from illnesses that mean they cannot sleep throughout the night, whilst a poor man who runs a stall sleeps peacefully at night, prays 5 times a day, and his children are obedient. This shows tranquility of the heart is what truly matters, not money. When you have peace of heart and mind, you have everything. You know, money can't buy you peace. A person may have all the money, but will still be restless at night, will still have insomnia, find it difficult to sleep, despite having the money. So this shows that money doesn't buy you a peaceful sleep. Money does not buy you peace, right? If you have little, you suffice with that, you make shukr for that, and you have peace of mind. That is a blessing in itself. For that, we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a father's deeds of mother nature, and a father is like a tree that shelters his children and bears the heat of sunlight himself. He works day and night for his children so that they can eat in comfort. Now, we may not realize it, but a father sacrifices his own desire to provide for us and to fulfill our wishes. Like when a child insists on buying something, the father goes beyond his budget to make sure that his child is happy. And this is what my father did for me. This is what your father did for you. Enduring hardships to provide ease for you and for me. If you sit under a tree, you're going to find it to be cool. Why? Because you're in the shade. But from above, the tree itself is very hot because it's taking all the sunlight upon itself. Our father is an immense blessing given to you and I by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our father who held our hand and taught us how to walk. It's our father who always wants us to succeed. You know, in this world, most become jealous and dislike seeing others progress. But our father is that unique person who feels joy when his children succeed, because the bond between a father and his children is a selfless one. You know, he will endure sorrow, but will not let his children feel sad. If you become demoralized or you face any difficulty, your father will reassure you and say that, don't worry, I'm here for you. Even if he is worried himself, he will still say this. He may be under a lot of stress, but he doesn't let anyone at home know of the problems that he's facing. He knows that if he tells his wife, she's going to become stressed. So there's no benefit, you know, in avoiding them. So he enjoys it all alone. sometimes takes a loan, lives a tough life, but never lets harm come to his children. Now, a time comes when the child grows up and the father becomes old. Now, it's the child's turn to look after the father. Remember, even if we serve our parents all our lives, we can never repay their kindness and sacrifice. They cared, you know, for us when we could not walk or feed ourselves. It was they who looked after us when we could not do so. It was they who clothed us. It was our parents who dug deep and raised us to become, you know, the strong people we are today. Now, it's our turn to serve them. We should consider it an honor and serve them wholeheartedly. You know, I mean, fortunate are those who serve their parents. Many parents do not provide that opportunity as they spend their lives looking after their children. They leave the world without anybody caring for them in return. Some say they never even had the chance to look after their parents. Imagine your father provides for you, your mother showers you with love until the very end, and they did this so much. They do not give us the opportunity to serve them in return. I mean, such was, you know, their level of love, their level of affection. You know, it's so true that it's the father who is the pillar of the entire household. Yet no one thanks him or understand the pain that he silently, you know, goes through, silently endures. He is the benefactor of the entire household and a sheltering tree for the whole family. And the father works so hard, provides shade for his children, favors them with his efforts, and whatever we have is all his. Now, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. In this one incident, a son came complaining of his father to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that my father wants to take my wealth. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bring your father here. When the father came, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that your son claimed you want to take his wealth. Is this true? And the father said that, please ask him what I do with the money I take. How do I use the money I ask him for? I spend it on hosting relatives and fulfilling the needs of my family and children. As this conversation took place, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam appeared and revealed that this father has composed verses of poetry in his heart but has not said them aloud. Ask him to recite them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you have thought of poetry, you have not yet recited. Now, the father, he mentioned the poetry to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hearing it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to cry. And he said to the son that, go, you and your wealth belong to your father. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that you and your wealth belong to your father. Today, when your sons give money to their fathers, they say, father, this is mine and that is yours. How much do you expect me to give? Why do you ask me again and again? You know, we should think that your father, you know, never said such thing when he fed you. Instead, he sacrificed his own meals to put food on your plate. He put his dreams one side to raise you. He rarely wore new clothes, but always bought you new clothes, new outfits, new shoes, new perfume, you name it. He brought you everything you asked for. Now, did we ever stop to think about the last time your father bought something for himself? Did he ever say, I really like these shoes, so I bought them for myself? Maybe, very rarely. Instead, my father always says that, I bought these for my son, I bought this for my daughter, I bought this for my wife. Parents, subhanAllah, they are extraordinary people. They don't live for themselves, they live for their children. But when children grow up to disrespect their parents in return and verbally belittle them, imagine how much this hurts the parents. I mean, books describe the respect a father deserves. Like, so a son should stand before his father the way a servant stands before his master. When a father commands his son, the son should respond with labbaik. This is the right and respect he deserves. Yet today the situation has deteriorated to such an extent that the rules seem reversed. The son behaves like the master and the father like a servant. Now when the father says, son, I need some money, the son refuses, saying, I don't have any. Or when the father says, son, come here, I need a favor, the son says, no, I don't have time. The rules are reversed. You know, a hadith mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may choose to delay punishment for all sins until the day of Qiyamah. Yet punishment for disobeying parents is also given in the world during a person's life. As a result, if a person now disobeys his parents, his own children will disobey him later. You know, there's an incident of a young man who got married. His father was old and he would cough a lot. He would cough frequently. So his wife said, "Get this old man out of the house." The son willingly, you know, because of being blinded by his wife and the love that he had for her, he took his father instead of intending to abandon him in a very isolated place. So the father said, "Son, are you really taking me somewhere in this cold? Please give me a blanket." So the disobedient son brought his own young boy with him. And the boy said that, "Grandfather, I'll get you a blanket." When the child returned, he had cut the blanket in half and brought one piece of it. The disobedient son asked his child, "Why did you only bring half?" And the child said, "And half is for him. And when you grow old, I'll have to take you somewhere also. I'll give you the other half to you. I'll give you the other half then." Allahu Akbar. And the disobedient son, he cried as he understood that what he was about to do to his father, his own children would do it to him later. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, the saying goes, what goes around comes around. And in the past, we used to hear retirement homes, you know, were only in Europe, etc., and all of these Western countries. But now, we see them almost all over. And people are beginning, well, have already started, to put their fathers in these places. You know, I mean, how naive is that? That this was the gate to paradise, which a child threw out of the house and put in a care home. When the father grows old and coughs, it annoys the child. But have you ever thought of how you soiled and wet your bed in your youth when you were a child? Yet back then, the father never threw you out of the house, never removed you out of the house. Have you ever thought about how many nights your father spent awake during your childhood? A person only understands these things when he becomes a father himself. Then he comes to know, he realizes how difficult it is to raise a child. And nowadays there are so many facilities available, like diapers and other conveniences. So we should think about how 30 or 40 years ago approximately, when we were little, how did our parents raise us with such little money? Allah, something for you and I to think about, Yusuf Madani, inshallah. So, from this we gather that our parents, they are a treasure. You know, they are irreplaceable. You know, because you can't get another mother, you can't get another father. So, we should treasure them, we should prioritize them, we should love them, we should respect them, we should, you know, obey them in lawful matters. Because when your parents are pleased with you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with you. And as of now, dear of Madinah and Shirin, we do have a very beautiful Qanam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I'm sure it is going to rejuvenate our hearts and minds, bodies and soul in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as it will increase our love for the blessed city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Al-Madinatul Munawwara. So let us go forward and listen to this Qalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much more, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Tere jaya, tere jaya, koi nahi. यही बोले सिदरा वाले चमने जहाँ के थाले सभी मैंने छान डाले तेरे पाए का ना पाया तेरे पाए का ना पाया तुझे यक ने यक बनाया तुझे यक ने यक बनाया तुझे यक ने यक बनाया तेरे खुल्क को हक ने अजीम कहा तेरी खिल्क को हक ने जमील किया कोई तुझसा हुआ है न होगा शहा तेरे खालिक के हुस्नो अदा की कसम अदा की कसम अदा की कसम
दुनिया ते आया कोई तेरी ना मिसाल दा दुनिया ते आया कोई तेरी ना مثال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے مکے رہن والے مدینے جان والے تھڈے کھان والے نو سینے لان والے سینے لان والے تیرے باجو ڈگے آنو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا تیرے باجو ڈگے آنو کوئی نہیں سنبھالدا
لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
اب میری نگاہوں میں جچتا نہیں کوئی جیسے میرے سرکار ہیں ایسا نہیں کوئی تیری آتے صفتاں دا کوئی بھی حساب نہیں تیرے آتے صفتاں دا کوئی بھی حساب نہیں تو تے کتھے تیرے غلاماں دا جواب نہیں تو تے کتھے تیرے غلاماں دا جواب نہیں حوراں نوں تو روپ ونڈے حبشی بلال دا حوراں نوں تو روپ ونڈے حبشی بلال دا
لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نوں رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نوں چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نوں چہرہ تیرا نور ونڈے ساری کائنات نوں رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نوں رب وی درود بھیجے ایک تیری ذات نوں شیدائے زمانہ تیرے حسن و جمال دا شیدائے زمانہ تیرے حسن و جمال دا
لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
اشارے سے چاند چیر دیا چھپے ہوئے خور کو پھیر لیا گئے ہوئے دل کو اثر کیا یہ تاب و توان تمہارے لیے کر کے دعا سونا سورج نو موڑ دا کر کے دعا سونا سورج نو موڑ دا آپے چن توڑ دا تے آپے چن جوڑ دا آپے چن توڑ دا تے آپے چن جوڑ دا بگڑی بناوے میرے نبی دا اشارہ بگڑی بناوے میرے نبی دا اشارہ
رب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا
کہندی اے حلیمہ مکھ ویکھ لجپال دا کہندی اے حلیمہ مکھ ویکھ لجپال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا لب کے لے آواں کتھوں سونا تیرے نال دا چودویں دا چن نالے عرشاں دا تارا چودویں دا چن نالے عرشاں دا تارا قسم خدا دی مینوں سب نالوں پیارا قسم خدا دی مینوں سب نالوں پیارا ہو کا دیواں تیرے میں سچے آ پیارا دا ہو کا دیواں ਸੱਚਿਆਂ ਪਿਆਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਜਿਉਂਦਾ ਏ ਜ਼ਹੂਰੀ ਨਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਯਾਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਜਿਉਂਦਾ ਏ ਜ਼ਹੂਰੀ ਨਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਯਾਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਮੰਗਤਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਰ ਤੇਰੀ ਆਲ ਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਮੰਗਤਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਰ ਤੇਰੀ ਆਲ ਦਾ
ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕੋਈ ਤੇਰੀ ਨਾ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਦਾ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕੋਈ ਤੇਰੀ ਨਾ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿੱਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله سبحان الله beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love for his beloved habib صلى الله عليه وسلم amin ya rabbal alamin alhamdulillah coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing the honor of a father and thus far we have mentioned various different aspects, incidents and narrations in this regard. And you know, moving on, you know, those who are young, they should remember that there comes a stage in life when after growing old, a person becomes like a child again, as if, you know, life has come a full circle. Childhood, youth, and then old age. Old age and childhood are at the same level, just as a child does not understand things, an elderly person also struggles to understand. Now, a child is stubborn, and an elderly person can also be stubborn. If a child's level of understanding is low, that of an elderly person will also decrease. And we often say, no, how can a father be so stubborn? So we shouldn't think of him as a 60-year-old anymore, rather think of him as a 6-year-old. When a 6-year-old insists on something, who argues with a child in this moment? Rather, you feel love for the child. If your father is 60 years old, his level of understanding may be decreased. Now he deserves to be treated with love also. When your father insists or does not listen, then you should understand that you are talking to a 6-year-old child. By thinking in this way, serving your father will become easier. And nothing he says will feel offensive. You know, usually frustration comes from thinking, why isn't he understanding what I'm saying? And you should refrain from getting angry. Remember, only unfortunate people behave disrespectfully with the elderly parents. And it's reported that a son once became overly annoyed with his father. He planned to take his father to a canal and push him into the water. When he took his father to the bridge over the canal, the father realized what was happening and said, "That son, not here. Go further ahead and push me where the water is deep." And the son was perplexed. "What are you saying?" He asked the father, "What are you saying?" The father said that, "I pushed my father into the water at the same place. What you are about to do to me is what I did to my father. And now I am facing the consequences of my actions." Allahu Akbar. Now, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimullah, he said, when foolish, wicked and ignorant individuals gain strength and power, they test it on the elderly father and disobey his command. And soon, the time will come when they grow old and they will taste the consequences of their actions. So you reap what you sow, and the punishment of the hereafter is severe and everlasting. And Thabit al-Bunani, rahimahullah, he said that a man was seen physically abusing his father. So people rebuked him, saying, "What is this?" The father said that, "Leave him, for I used to hit my father at this same place. This is why my son does the same to me. This is the consequences of my actions. Do not blame him." Now, in this world, if you find in your channel, we bear the consequences of our actions. You know, children who respect their father will in turn be respected by their own children in the future. If you ever see children kissing the father's hand, ask him if he honored his own father, and he will tell you, yes, he did. And the person who respects their father, Allah Ta'ala will make the person's children obey him. So love your father, respect him, do not discourage him. You know, some foolish people refuse to meet or talk to their fathers. A mother hugs her child tightly, calling them, you know, by beautiful and loving words. Although now a father may not express it clearly, but he truly loves his children. And that's why he does everything for them. He may not say it verbally, but he does. He does feel compassion for them in his heart. Now acknowledge this at least and appreciate your father's love. Sometimes a son should say to his father that whatever I am today, it is because of you. And most definitely, this is going to fill his eyes with tears. Yes, some only maintain a good relationship with their mother and argue with their father. Now, this must be avoided. One must respect and honor him as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the father is the central door of paradise. It is your choice whether you protect this or abandon it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, a son cannot fully repay his father's rights unless he finds his father as a servant, purchases him and sets him free. Now, an important point is mentioned in another hadith that the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the pleasure of the father. And the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the displeasure of the father. Now here, subhanallah, you know, in the previous hadith wherein I mentioned that a son cannot fully repay his father's rights unless he finds his father as a servant, purchases him and sets him free. Here, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, he says that the point is that no matter how much a son serves his father, he can never truly repay his father's rights. The only possible way to fulfill his father's due is if the son is free and wealthy and the father is a servant. And the son should buy him so the father becomes free the moment he enters the son's ownership. Now, we have also learned in the Yusuf Madani Shunan that the pleasure of the father is in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The displeasure of the father is in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means we can say if a person's father is pleased with him, Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him. If his father is displeased with him, Allah Ta'ala is also displeased with him. You know, someone visited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is most deserving of my good character? The answer was, your mother. He then asked, who after her? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered again, your mother, when he asked for the third time. And the fourth time when he asked, who after her? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, your father. Now the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are full of wisdom. He mentioned the mother three times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the mother three times and the father once. Why is that so? Scholars of Islam, they say it's because the mother has three major favors upon her child. Number one, the mother carries the child in her womb for 9 months. Number two, she endures the pain of labor, of childbirth. Number three, she nurtures and raises the child. The father has one favor. He takes part in the upbringing of the child. Now, although the father has one right and the mother has three, this does not mean one should not respect their father. You know, scholars write that serve your mother more, but honor your father more, as he is the husband and crown of your mother. Now, or rather, what should children do if they find their parents arguing? Do they take the mother's side? Do they take the father's side? What should children do in this case? And here, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Radha Khan Rahimahullah, he writes that if a dispute arises between parents, children should neither argue with the mother in favor of the father or vice versa. Children are not permitted to quarrel with either of them. In such situations, one must hold firmly to the way of respect and good manners. And remember that both mother and father deserve our respect. So honor them both. earn the reward of an accepted Hajj by lovingly looking at them. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when a righteous child looks at the parents with love, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records the reward of one accepted Hajj for every glance. And the reward of Hajj is present in our homes, Yusuf Madinishan. All we are missing are the loving eyes to look with. Today, children try to, you know, intimidate their parents with those, you know, with their big eyes and look at them sternly, etc. You know, I mean, pity on the children whose parents are scared to speak with them. I mean, imagine a mother fearing speaking to her own son or daughter, being scared they will react harshly or fight. I mean, what good are these kinds of children? When your parents say something, then your response should be with labbaik. This is the manner taught to us by Islamic law. But children of today, they fail to understand this. You know, there are many whose parents pass away whilst being displeased with them. During the parents' life, they make no efforts to please them. You know, it's only after they die do children realize what they have done. Like in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that whoever looks at their father with a harsh gaze has not treated him well. Remember, if your father is pleased, so is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, let's say somebody's parents passed away, displeased with them. Scholars say the offspring should perform many, many good deeds, convey the reward of this to their parents, and pray for their forgiveness. Now, keep this in mind that good deeds are not done only through money. Neither is building a masjid the only way to earn them. Offering salah, reciting the Holy Quran are also good deeds. As for children who continuously pray for their parents, for their parents' forgiveness, by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, we hope He will cause their parents' souls to become pleased with them. And we hope Allah Ta'ala will include such children among the obedient. Now, there is still time, leaves of Manjushan. You know, for the rest of your days, make sure you also pray for your parents. In fact, Allah Ta'ala shows us how to pray for our parents in the Holy Quran, wherein it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And say, O my Rabb, have mercy on them both as they raised me when I was a child. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever visits the graves of their parents, one of them every Friday, shall be granted forgiveness and is recorded among the righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon our parents and grant them Jannah. For those whose parents have passed away in a state of Iman, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a very high status in Jannah, in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, subhanallah, fathers, even of mothers, they play an important role in our lives. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained, whoever wishes his life and sustenance be increased should treat his parents kindly and maintain good relations with his relatives. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when a person stops making dua for their parents, their sustenance is cut off. Now we see people of today, they crying, complaining, you know, that I find no barakah in my sustenance is short, you know, money comes, money goes, I don't know what's happening, I'm earning well, but I still don't know what's happening. And one cause for that we see, that am I making dua for my parents? Are you making dua for your parents? Because the moment you make dua for your parents, your sustenance is going to increase, it's going to be barakah in your risk. So, we need to always be making dua for our parents. And of course, when parents do become old, then it becomes a testing time for the children. At times, when our parents do something, we must acknowledge and realize that they are old, they are elderly, and they still we still need to respect them. I mean, how beautiful was the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that for every look you give your parents with love, there is one accepted hajj for you. Now, how many can guarantee that their hajj is accepted? No one can give a guarantee because they don't know whether it's accepted or not. And here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you and I that you look at your parents once, you'll get one accepted hajj, but with a loving gaze. The companions are alayhim ridwan, they ask, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 times in a day. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Na'am, yes, Allahu Akbar wa atyab. Allah Ta'ala is the greatest and the purest. So, every look you get, inshallah, you'll get that many rewards of an accepted hajj. So the reward of hajj duties of Madinah Nation is present in our homes. We just need to take advantage of it. You know, every time you enter your home, go and kiss your father's hand, kiss your mother's hand, look at them with love and mahabba, with affection, with compassion. And for you, it's an accepted hajj. I mean, did you do something so big? Did you do something very difficult? No, you didn't. All you did was, you simply looked at them, no, sincerely, with a gaze full with love and mahabba. And just for that, you got the reward of an accepted hajj. Subhanallah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How infinite is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That opportunities are there, the use of Madinah for you and I to gain so much of reward. It is just for you and I to grasp it, to take it, and to use it to our advantage. So it's important that we should not be disobeying our parents. You know, Quran teaches you and I that we shouldn't even be saying uff to our parents. And nowadays we see, apart from uff is mentioned as an example. No? But nowadays we see children, they would slam the door on their parents. They would look at their parents with their big red eyes. And they would shout at their parents. They would scream at their parents. They would scold their parents. And this eventually breaks the hearts of their parents. So this is something that we should not be doing, because Islam does not teach us this. Islam teaches us to respect our parents. You know, the companions, their conduct was such that whenever they would come in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. Why did they make this statement? You know, I mean, they could have said wealth. They could have given any other example. But they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my mother and father be sacrificed upon you. It was because for them, their greatest wealth was what? It was their parents. And what would they want to sacrifice for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to be the best thing in this world. So, for them, it was their parents. And hence they would come and they would say, Fidaka ummi wa abi, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my mother and father be sacrificed upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the youth of Madinah should always remember, you may be young, you may be all energetic, you may be, you know, living life, etc. But do not forget your father, do not forget your mother. You know, you may be married, you may be out of the house, but it doesn't mean that you neglect them completely. It doesn't mean you don't visit them anymore. It doesn't mean that you get so occupied in life, you get so busy in life, that you don't have time for your parents. So the time should be actually made. That the time should be there. There shouldn't be no compromisation on that. Because it's a priority. Something that we have to prioritize. That the moment your parents are happy with you, everything else, it falls into place. You may come across people wherein their life is full with barakah and with blessings. How? It is because they please their parents. It is because They served the parents, respected them, obeyed them, loved them. Some of them became the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, look at Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah. How did he become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? His mother requested him for water. He went out at night, on a cold night, he got the water, he came back, he saw his mother fall off to sleep. And he stood there, the entire night. And he waited for his mother to wake up. Morning came, his mother woke up. And she saw him standing there with the glass in his hand. She asked him, what are you doing? He said, oh mother, that when I came back, I saw you fell off to sleep. So I waited until you woke up so that I could present this water to you. His mother took the glass of water from his hand. And when she did that, because of it being so cold, it got stuck to his skin. When she took the glass, some of his skin came off. And she cried. She was touched by this. And she made dua in the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I am pleased with my son Bayezid. You also be pleased with him. And subhanAllah, today the whole world knows him as Sayyiduna Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So if you want to attain status in the deen of the nation, if you want to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to gain the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we want the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to love our parents. We need to respect our parents. We need to obey our parents. Because by doing that, then you can attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, how funny is it that you may find some people, they would meet you outside, they would meet you in the market, they would meet you in the masjid, and they would smile at you, they would talk so nice to you, they would sweet talk you, they would seem as if they are the best people. You know? And they have such good character, such good conduct. But the moment they go home to their parents, then we hear them screaming at their parents, we hear them shouting at their parents, you know, they talk anyhow to their parents. There's no respect, there's no adab, there's no nothing in front of their parents. But outside, it's for show, to demand, to gain respect and all of these things. So it shouldn't be like that, Yusuf Madinshan. Rather, we should be of those who love our parents, respect our parents, and obey our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon what we have heard. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all our parents out there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of them a long life filled with barakah, good health and afiyah. And for those parents that have passed away from this world in the state of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of them maghfirah and a high status in Jannah of Firdaus. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear, the timeless message forever clear, the timeless message, the timeless message.